with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm winding down our series. This week and next week will be the last in our series called Doing Life Better. Would you say that with me? Doing Life Better. I told you that this series was birthed, and those of you that have been with it know that I was doing a ride-along as a chaplain with the police department, and I spent hours with an officer after dealing with many people, many various situations, emergencies. And at the end of the shift, he said to me, "You know, chaplain, I've come to the conclusion that people don't know how to do life very well." And it really resonated with me, and it gave birth to the series, Doing Life Better, because I believe that salvation is God's plan to do life better. I believe the Bible is God's manual and blueprint on how to do life better. And so we've been on this series, and every week we've looked at a different passage and had a different title each week with the word better in it. And if you missed any of the messages, you can go to the website, our podcast, you can download them free, you can listen to them. We have CDs that are available here that you can order, and I trust that you will take advantage. And as we learn to do life better, I want you to look at with me at Luke chapter 10 this morning as we consider this morning another or message. And I want you to look at this story that's familiar to us. Jesus entered into the village in the home of Martha and her sister Mary. And the Bible says that Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset with many things, but one thing is needed." And note this part, "And Mary hath chosen," say chosen, "Mary has chosen the better thing, and it shall not be taken away from her." With this backdrop and this account and that statement, "Mary hath chosen," say chosen, "the better thing," say better thing. This morning I want to talk about the better choice. Mary has chosen the better thing. Now listen, Mary is not the better sister. Mary's not the better Christian. Martha had a wonderful heart, a servant's heart. That's not the point of the story. The account is to show us that as believers and human beings, we have a choice every day. Martha chose to worry. Mary chose to worship. Let me say that again. Martha chose to worry. Mary chose to worship. Mary hath chosen the better thing, the better choice. Say the better choice. Now listen, the better choice summed up this way is this: to slow down our life, to simplify our life, and to surrender our life. That was the choice that Mary did. There was chaos. There was a lot of things going on. There were many things to take care of. There was an overwhelming amount of stuff going on inside them, around them, and all about them. And yet, Mary made the choice to slow down, to simplify, and to sit at the feet of Jesus and to allow him to not only refresh her, but to minister to her and to help her. How many know we'll get more done with the many things and all the stuff and all the distractions if we'll slow down and we will simplify things and we will spend time in the presence of Jesus and allow him to help us? How many know he's there to help us? Mary hath made the better choice. George, are you here this morning? George, come up here a moment. George was talking to me after church last Sunday, and he shared something with me that I thought fits perfectly in with my message this morning. So I asked him this week if he would take a moment. Listen to this. I thought this was really good.
Good morning. Pastor was talking, doing life better is, you know, about choices. And sometimes the choices are obvious, you know, like calling a friend or just doing the right thing. Sometimes we know what to do, and circumstances sometimes don't allow that, or we just simply don't want to. But sometimes things happen in life, and the emotions run high, and the choices, it's not obvious to you. In my situation, I lost my wife a little over a year ago. June died. It was October 13th. And I've been dreading that one-year anniversary, and a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You have that anniversary coming up. Every year there's that date where you kind of dread, and it means a lot what you do with that day. I'm not saying it's ever going to be easier, but sometimes if you do something different, it can change your outlook. And I was talking to someone that has been through that, and this person suggested that I do something fun on that day, do something that June would have loved to do. It wasn't an obvious choice. I was thinking it's just going to be a hugely sad day. And so we did. Myself and my two children, who Jeanette and George, we went to the zoo. It was a little zoo, actually, out in Birch Run. And then we went to Frankenmuth and had dinner. Now, we did those things because June loved to do those things. We didn't do those things to feel like we were with her or bring her back, but to kind of honor that day. And it made a huge difference. So now, every year, that becomes a good day. And it just reminds me, I've talked to some people or know some people in my family who lost someone, like a spouse, and for years and years and years, it's been the worst day. They hate that day. But making the choice to do something different can change the course of your future. So.
Thank you, Lord, for my brother. I just pray a blessing over him and over anyone else that may identify with his story and his life. Because, Lord, we're not the only ones, but you're there to encourage us and to strengthen each other. So I pray a blessing on him. Thank you for the courage that he had to not only make a good choice to try to turn a bad day into a good day, but also for the choice to share it with us today. I pray that it would be seed falling in someone's heart today that would spring up to life eternal in their life as well. So we pray a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Amen. The better choice. The better choice is this. If we look at the account, how many know we'll do life better if when we begin to worry, we instead choose to worship? Now, how many know we're all going to worry? That's why Martha, don't look at Martha in a negative way in this account. She's a wonderful lady of God, a wonderful servant, wanted Jesus to have a wonderful meal and a good time. Nothing wrong with that. And we all going to face worry, even good people. You see, Martha represents to us even good people, believers, godly people, people who invite Jesus into their home and into their life are going to get worried, going to get distracted, going to get upset, going to get frustrated. Life is full of things that cause us to worry. But here's the point, not that we can't worry or can't stop worrying. My suggestion and what I believe this passage is showing is that when we begin to worry, instead of continuing to go with the worry, make a choice and begin to worship. And how many know as we begin to worship, something will change? Maybe not around us, but how many know inside of us? And that's the better choice today. If we could learn that simple lesson this morning, but an important lesson from the scripture, that's really the burden of my heart this morning, that when we begin to worry, make the choice to begin to worship. An exasperated husband asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good?" Where she quickly replied, "Oh yeah, 90% of the things I worry about never happen." Think about it. You know what they say, 90% of the things that we worry about never happen. It's not the worry that doesn't make it happen. Listen, when we begin to worry, say when we begin to worry, make the choice to begin to worship. I want to show you four observations that I want to make very quickly because I want us to take a few moments and spend some time at the feet of Jesus today, as we've already done, and put into practice this principle this morning. So very quickly, I want to take you through four observations from this passage between Mary and Martha, contrasting the choice of worry and the choice of worship. Here's the first observation and the first principle. Worry makes us stressful. Worship makes us peaceful. Now, how many know that's really obvious and simple, but how many know all worry does is make us upset, distracted, and troubled? That's exactly what it says happened to Martha. Here was a wonderful woman, Martha, serving Jesus, and her worry turned into being distracted. Her worry turned into making her upset. Worry turned her into being troubled, while Mary was full of peace, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me show you a couple of scriptures to show you this point. In 1 Samuel 16, the Bible says that whenever Saul, who allowed oppressive spirits and evil spirits to get into his heart, the Bible says he would call David in and David would play the harp. And the Bible says that when Saul would hear the worship and the music from the psalmist David, the Bible says he was refreshed and he felt better and the spirit departed from him. There's something about worship. There's something about turning and casting those cares on the Lord. There's something about taking that time and turning our attention to God instead of away from God that will refresh us, make us feel better, and cause all of those other emotions that bother us and hold us back to go and to leave from our life. Notice Philippians 4 tells us, be anxious or don't over-worry or stress about anything, but pray about everything. With supplication and thanksgiving. How many know prayer and supplication with thanksgiving is talking about worship? It's talking about prayer and praise and thanking God. When we do that, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Notice if we will choose to not worry, but we'll choose to pray or choose to be thankful, choose to praise or to worship. Notice that the peace of God will fill our hearts. The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The second principle or observation I want you to see is that worry makes us think and feel that God doesn't care. Worship makes us realize how much God really does care. I want you to notice what happened with Martha was that Martha, because she began to worry, how many know the first thing she said is, Lord, don't you care? Now, how many know Martha knew Jesus cared? Martha loved Jesus. But the difference was that the worry now had changed even her thinking. How many know when we get all worried, we don't think right? And we don't feel right. And we don't act right. Because worry has a way of taking over. And Martha felt like, Lord, you don't care. While we know that, what did Mary do? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And instead of thinking Jesus didn't care, she listened and she heard the word of God. And the word of God was able to speak to her heart. She listened to the words of Jesus and allowed his peace to fill our hearts. Let me show you a couple of scriptures for this. Matthew 6 tells us, take no thought or don't overthink. How many know that's the root of worry? Overthinking. Take no thought what you shall eat, drink, and wear. In other words, the basic needs of life that we all need. We all need certain things in life. Everybody in this room has a need. Everybody has different needs in our life. It may not just be food or shelter, but it could be other things. But he's saying, whatever your basic needs that you're worried about today or that you're stressful about today, he said, look at the birds of the sky. They don't struggle or spin, and yet God cares about them. Consider the lilies of the field. They don't stress. If your heavenly Father cares about the birds and the lilies, how much more does he care for you? And when we worship, we will realize just how much God cares. But when we worry, we will assume that God doesn't care. And 1 Peter 5 tells us to cast all our cares, all our worries on him. Why? Because he cares. It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't feel like it. We don't always think God cares, but I'm here to tell you that when we begin to worship, we'll realize just how much he cares. The third principle that I want you to see is that worry makes us lash out and blame others. Worship makes us reach out and believe God. Worry makes us blame others. What did Martha say, Lord, you don't care that my sister left me to do this all by herself. Tell her to help me. What was Martha saying? It's my sister's fault that I'm all stressed out. If she would do what she, I wouldn't be worried if she, and how many know worry has a way of twisting things around in our heart and mind to make us begin to lash out and blame those around us? Well, they made me. How many know nobody can make you? How many know we allow those things? And worry has a way of changing the whole outlook. And she began to lash out, even at her sister, who she loved, and they were close. But she lashed out at her, and she began to blame. Lord, you don't care, and my sister doesn't care. It's her fault. Tell her to help me. While Mary, instead, sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to his words and reached out to Jesus. And in reaching out to Jesus, it built faith in her. And it encouraged her and strengthened her in her life. Let me show you scriptures about this. Nebuchadnezzar said that he had a dream and he was troubled in his spirit and it broke his sleep. Can I say something just stopping there just for a moment? How many know when we're worried and troubled, it affects even our sleeping? Come on, I got to tell you, I'll be true confession here. I got to tell you, my hardest thing at night is turning my mind off. And it just wants to just go 95 miles an hour. And that's the hardest thing. And that's when we allow worry, that's instead of, I'd say instead of counting sheep, how about just starting to sing? How about putting on some worship music? How about beginning to think on good things? When we begin to worry and our mind won't slow down and we can't sleep, begin to worship. Begin to pray. Begin to be thankful. Say, Lord, I thank you for this day, even if it wasn't a great day. Thank you, I made it through the day. Thank you that I have the opportunity tomorrow to have a better day. Begin to pray, to begin to thank. Change the mood. Notice he was troubled in his spirit, so it broke his head. Notice then the king demanded of the magicians and astrologers and the sorcerers to explain the dream. I'm not going to get hooked up on that, but how many know if you're worried about something, those are not the places to go for your answers. Amen. I've said enough about that. I don't have to spend a long time on that. How many know you get the point? Your answers are not going to be found there. Go to God. He's the one who gets the answers. He's the one who holds tomorrow. He's the one who can give us rest and speed. Notice this. The king said, he demanded them. Notice he didn't ask, he demanded. Then he said, the king said, if you will not make known my dream, I'm going to cut you to pieces and your homes and your families are going to be destroyed. How many know when we get worried, we want to lash out at everything and we want to blame everybody and we want to make demands and we become ornery and we become demanding and we lose our sleep and we want to kill everybody? Oh, come on. That's what being troubled in our spirit did. It interrupted his sleep, it made him demanding, and he wanted to lash out at everything around him. Notice Herod. Heard the things. He heard that his king was being born. Even though it was a baby king, the king got nervous. Herod got nervous. And the Bible says he was troubled. He was worried. He was stressed out. And notice this. So he made all of Jerusalem troubled with him. How many know when we get worried and we get troubled, guess what? We make everybody else miserable. If I'm miserable, you're all going to be miserable. Oh, come on. You see, that's what worry does to us. That's what happens when we let worry take root and we let it live in us and continue to grow. We're all going to get worried, but instead of making the choice to worship, if we let worry continue to build and build and build, what's going to happen is we're going to lash out and we're going to make everybody else around us miserable. And notice this, and he demanded, see? We get demanding when we're stressed out because we want answers and we want results and we get frustrated. He demanded to find where Christ would be born. And the angel warned Joseph to take the child to Mother Egypt because Herod sought to destroy the child. Remember what the king said? Oh, to the wise men, go find out where he is. I want to go worship. He didn't want to worship. He wanted to destroy. Because worry tries to destroy. Worship is what brings me. And on the other hand of Herod, how many know the wise men? Because they truly went to worship. The Bible says when they saw the star, and they went into the house, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. There's a difference when we choose to worship instead of to worry. The fourth and last principle and observation from the account of Martha and Mary is worry makes us focus on and get overwhelmed by the many things. Worship makes us focus on and be productive with the most important things. How many know there are a lot of many things that we can worry about? And how many know the best thing is to focus on what's most important? How many know there's a lot of good things that we don't even have to stress over? What we need to stress over is the God things, the things that are most important. Martha was, the Bible says she was troubled over the many things. They were good things. It's a good thing to want Jesus to have a comfortable place. It's a good thing to want Jesus to have a good meal. It's a good thing to want to take care of all those things. But how many know, sometimes it's okay to leave a couple of dishes in the sink. Oh, come on, everybody should have said amen to that. How many know when things are going well and we're doing good, those dishes in the sink don't bother us, but let us be worried about something. And all of a sudden, those dishes in the sink are grounds for, oh, come on. Many things. We stress over so many things that really don't amount. What we need to focus on is the most important thing. What did Jesus say to Martha, and then about Mary? Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the better thing because one thing is needed. In other words, Martha, you're focused on many things. Mary focused on the most important thing, and that was to spend time with Jesus and get the answers and the help she needed. And how many know if we spend time with Jesus about the most important thing, how many know he'll help us with the many things? Let me show you scripture. You know the parable of the sower. There's the different seeds. There's the hard ground. And then there's the shallow ground. Well, he talks about the third ground. He said the seed that was sown among the thorns is one who hears the word and it takes root, but the cares of the world and the deceptions and desires of things, many things, all the other things entered in and choked out the word, and that life became unfruitful. If we worry and let worry take, even if we know Jesus, even if we have the word of God in us, even if we know the truth, how many know the cares can come in and choke out the good word and the good seed of God, and it can choke out. And it can choke out that other stuff. And notice this, it'll make our life unfruitful. Our life won't be better. It'll be less productive and less fruitful when we allow worry to come in. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, who by worrying ever added anything to their life? As a matter of fact, he says, who added one cubic? Whoever added 1 hour to your life by worrying? Jesus said, he said it rhetorically. Obviously, the answer is nobody ever added anything to their life. As a matter of fact, we're taking away from our life. The unbeliever or the person who doesn't know they have a heavenly Father who takes care of them worries about the many things. But seek first. Instead of the many things, focus on what's most important. Seek first. Put all your time and energy not in worrying about the many things. Put all your time and energy and priority on seeking the first and most important thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God. Pray. Worship him. Seek God's wisdom, God's will, God's way. And when we do that, all of the other things that we're worried about, he'll help us and he'll add them back to us. How many know that's a great deal? I don't have to worry about the many things. I've got to worry about the most important thing. And when I worry about the most important thing, he helps me with the many things. Worry makes us unproductive and overwhelmed. Worship makes us productive and allows us to receive the benefits and the blessings of God. I came across a saying, and I don't know the author, so it's an unknown author. I didn't come up with it, but I thought this was pretty good. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about the things that he can only change. I thought that was pretty good. So whoever the author of that is, I give them credit. Because Worry is just a conversation we have with ourselves. Martha was divided, distracted within herself. And then we can't change it anyways by worrying. But by prayer and worship, how many know we invite God and we bring God into the situation, and he can change any situation, and he can turn any situation around. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you worried about? What are you stressed about today? What's got you distracted? What has caused you to become upset, troubled, frustrated? What is it that's on your mind today? What is it that's causing your emotions to get all out of whack and out of sorts? What are we worried about today? All of us are worried about something. Worry is no respecter of any person. Good people, godly people, Christian people, all people face worry and stress. The question is, what are we going to do about it? How many know today we have a choice? We can continue to worry, or we can choose to worship. We could get all worked up, get more upset, get everybody else upset, start demanding, start lashing out, start ruining things, start making things worse. Or we could say, you know what? I'm going to slow my life down. I'm going to spend a few moments with the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be thankful. And I'm going to turn all those things over to God and ask him to help me. That's the choice we have today. Will you take a few moments with me? Will you open your heart? Will you allow God to work in your life today instead of allowing all these other things to work your life over, instead of allowing him to bring his peace to our life? How many know Paul and Silas were in prison and it was midnight? How many know midnight is the darkest hour? And how many know they had a choice? Do we just roll over in prison and give up? Do we turn on each other? Silas, it's your fault. No, Paul, it's your fault. No, Silas, you got us into this. No, Paul, it was you who got us into this. They had a choice. They could get all worked up. They could get all troubled. They could start blaming each other. They could start getting all things. Or they could choose what they chose. The Bible says they began to pray, and they began to sing praises to God. And notice what happened. God showed up. And when we invite God in, how many know, even into our worry and in our stress, he shows up. And notice what it says. It says the earth, the foundations were shaken, the doors were open, and the bands were loose. Is there something in your life that you'd like to see shaken off? Is there something in your life today that you would like a door to be opened? Is there something in your life today that you want to be loosed from, that's been holding on to you and hanging on to your life? I got a suggestion for you. Make the better choice. Make the better choice. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat everybody else up. How about let's turn to God? And let's invite God in through prayer and thanksgiving and worship and praise, and allow him to change our heart. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to close your eyes with me.